This piece was brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, cane5.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org. This is the news.
As a follow-up to a recent story on our program, What Doesn't Kill You, concerning the state of the fish industry in the U.S. and globally, here's the kind of update we like reporting on. The proposal for the creation of North America's largest ever copper and gold mine in the headwaters of Bristol Bay, Southwest Alaska, received another blow as a grassroots groundswell, including those in the fishing industry, consumers, and now chefs, continues to build. Bristol Bay, the entry point to a massive swim for some 40 million wild salmon before they head towards rivers and streams to spawn and die, is the source of over 50% of the world's sockeye. It is also the most valuable commercial salmon fishery on Earth, estimated generating $1.5 billion annually. The proposed mine met with great protest. 62% of Alaskans polled said they opposed development. The Environmental Protection Agency also got in on the act, issuing a proposal restricting mining developments in Bristol Bay. The EPA noted that it would have, quote, unacceptable adverse impacts, end quote, to the watershed and the health of the fishery. The developer, Pebble Partnerships, has challenged the EPA's response. On the line, we have Elizabeth Herendeen of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Elizabeth, what do you see as next steps and or strategies to keep the anti-mine momentum going?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're in this interesting point right now with the end of the EPA's recent public comment period, which just ended September 19th. And so we sort of have this opportunity, I think, to, you know, sort of pause and first, you know, kind of sort of celebrate how much we've accomplished as sort of this national network of consumers, fishermen, and others who value wild salmon and have really gotten involved. So, you know, it's a chance, I think, to kind of regroup. But, you know, it's really, I think, keeping the drumbeat going over the next few months as the EPA reads through all the public comments and weighs their next steps in this, in their decision, and just so important for consumers and chefs and others in the seafood community who value wild salmon to, you know, keep communicating with our elected officials in D.C. and just, you know, making sure that this doesn't get swept under the rug and that, you know, we really hold the EPA to this timeline that they've set for themselves. You know, they're saying they're going to have a decision made about their next steps by February 4th of 2015. So it's going to be, you know, really important on the critical few months that we've got ahead of us here.
Absolutely. And this is one that's really resonated with so many people. Can you comment as well on the role chefs have played in the effort to defeat the mine?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's part of what makes this issue so unique and unprecedented is this real groundswell of support that's grown over the years within the chef and food community. And, you know, chefs have really stepped up to the plate and it's been playing, you know, I think it's really two key roles. The first, sort of serving as educators and helping connect consumers and diners all over the country to Bristol Bay, Alaska, which is a very remote place, and most people don't know about it and aren't aware of its significance when it comes to sustainable wild salmon supply. And so chefs have really helped connect consumers with Bristol Bay, with the fishermen of Bristol Bay, and with some of the threats facing the future sustainability of this irreplaceable wild salmon fishery. You know, and chefs have been doing that through hosting dinners and promotions and, you know, just really bringing Bristol Bay salmon to people on their plates. You know, the second role chefs have been playing over the years has been, you know, really getting involved as actual advocates. So we've had a lot of chefs getting involved through rallies and participating in meetings with their senators and the EPA and, you know, joining sign-on letters or sending their own letters to elected officials and really using their voices as chefs to weigh in and, you know, help make sure that people who like to buy and eat wild salmon have a place at the table in this national debate.
Such an important story. We're going to keep our listeners updated on it as it develops. Elizabeth Herron, Dean of Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is Nancy Gagliardi for heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.